flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome on in, Early Odds. Jake Hassan with you on 670 The Score for the next hour here. Listen, by this point in the NFL season, you know the drill. We're going to talk NFL. We're going to talk college football. We are going to talk some NBA as well. Obviously, give you a look for the NHL at the very end of the show as well, with a postmortem for Major League Baseball as the World Series wrapped up a couple days ago. Just give you a quick thought. It's not going to be a lot, but a long shot that I already like, as the 2025 options have already opened for Major League Baseball. But awesome show. I mean, I think they're all awesome, obviously, and I'm the one with the microphone, so that's what you're going to hear. Awesome show, though. Coming up today, Sam Panayotovich joins the show of BetQL Daily and Fox Sports at SP Shoot. He's awesome. He's going to join to talk college football and NFL, break down his looks, his angles. We'll talk NFL MVP. We'll talk Offensive Rookie of the Year following the Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels showdown that we saw last week, and we do not have to talk about the result of that, but also talks Heisman. He has some looks there and some college football playoff looks. But for this first segment, you know how it goes. It is me, Jake Hassan, with you to open the show, here to start. And of course, we have to start with the NFL. And listen, how about those dogs last week, huh? How about those big dogs? Gave you the Browns with the points and a little bit on the money line. Bang. Gave you the Patriots points and money line. Bang. I mean, that was really, really awesome. And that was a lot of fun. So hopefully we could keep that rolling this week as well, because there are a lot of big dogs once again with this week in the NFL. And I don't like quite as many of the dogs as I did last week. And let's start with those pitiful Panthers. They were catching 10 against the Broncos. We laid it on this show. If you were listening, we laid it with Bo Nix and Sean Payton, and it came through. They win by 2 touchdowns. Bryce Young continues to look atrocious. And now the Panthers welcome the New Orleans Saints to town, and gotta wait and see. It looks like Derek Carr maybe is going to play in this game. We'll have to find out. But if Carr is going to be in this game, I'm comfortable laying any points. 7, 7.5, 8. Right now we're sitting right at 7. But I'll lay it with the Saints. I mean, this Panthers team, every time that you think it can't get worse, it does. It continues to get lower and lower. And this Panthers team, they are just the truly one of the worst teams that we've ever been, I guess, blessed, if you want to say it that way, maybe cursed, to ever see in our lives. And not only are they just atrocious straight up, obviously they're 1-7, they're 1-7 against the spread too. Like, they can't cover to save their lives. So I would lay it with the Saints. I just don't think that this is a good spot for the Panthers. I don't think any spot is going to be a good spot for the Panthers at all. Let's talk about the Broncos, though. They're catching 9.5. Obviously, last week they were laying 9.5, 10 against the Panthers. And oh, how the turntables. Now you go to Baltimore. Bang, here's Lamar Jackson and Jim Harbaugh right in your face, right in your eye hole. And Did I say Jim or John? Jim Harbaugh. No, John. Yeah. I don't know. Brain is fried. Scrambled eggs. Anyway, point being, the Ravens are really, really good. And the Broncos, listen, the Broncos have had a nice season and they've surprised people, but I just don't think this team overall has that, you know, contender status. And again, they've been a nice surprise, but I think now you go to Baltimore, a true Super Bowl contender, and I kind of think Denver's going to get exposed here. I think if we're inside of 10 and it looks like we're going to stay there, I'm fine laying it with Baltimore. I think that this is a classic Baltimore letdown spot usually, but I think that here Lamar Jackson continues to author another MVP season, possibly obviously a lot of schedule and a lot of season left to go, but I think the Ravens here could absolutely dump truck the Broncos. I like the Broncos defense overall, but I think if you're going to give me Bo Nix versus Lamar Jackson straight up, don't think it's going to go well. Also a bounce back spot for the Ravens after they lose to the Browns outright, which if you're listening, you sprinkled that with me, which would be awesome. Anyway, I digress, but Ravens bounce back spot after they lose and disappoint to Jameis Winston, because now everybody's going to want to bet the Broncos here. Oh, well, the Ravens just lost to the Browns. Now let's all jump on. This is going to be a Ravens side. No, I think they stop the bleeding. I think they get back here, and I think that they take care of business here. Another big spread that we should talk about. Eagles laying 7.5 to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Talk about a team that it's not getting better. And I know that the Jaguars have looked a little bit better and they've maybe kind of started to right the ship a little bit, just a tiny bit. They lose to the Packers by 3 after they beat the Patriots. But I think the Eagles here at home, Eagles off the bye. And I know Nick Sirianni is like not the best coach in the world, but Doug Peterson's worse. And his return, maybe you're thinking, oh, Doug Peterson wants to prove something. Doug Peterson's bad. Sorry. It's just not good. And I think he's going to be overmatched here against an Eagles team that is rested and ready off the bye and is ready to kick the crap out of a lowly Jaguars team. And that's just kind of how I see that shaking out here as well. Let's talk about the game that I think everybody's looking at. And it's because of the news that came out. Anthony Richardson gets benched by the Colts and Shane Steichen. They make the move to Joe Flacco. And I mean, if you're a Cleveland Browns fan or supporter, or, you know, somebody who bet the comeback player of the year last year, like I did, then maybe you were like, hey, I've seen this story before. But Joe Flacco comes in. He's going to start for the Colts at the Vikings. Colts catching 5.5. And the Vikings, nice season. They've played really well. They've surprised. Kind of started to look a little shaky lately. Sam Darnold has kind of turned more into Sam Darnold again. But I think the Colts here, I don't know, like Flacco in this spot, and you see you have the Colts players saying that they found out about the switch at quarterback through social media and that they were blindsided, and just the vibes here don't feel great. And so I think you go to Minnesota, a tough place to play already. And it's like, okay, you go into this environment, you're rattled, you have this quarterback change, nobody knew about it, you're feeling blindsided. And after two, the Vikings in a disappointing spot lose to the Rams on Thursday night, you know, the Thursday before Halloween, and they also lost to the Lions. And so I think the Vikings looking to stop the bleeding here, I think at 5, maybe we can get inside of 5. That'd be really awesome. But I don't think this quarterback change is going to solve everything for Indianapolis. I'm going to lay it with the Vikings. I'll trust in the home field advantage. I'll trust that Brian Flores has something dialed up to make Flacco uncomfortable as well. And if he goes down too, I mean, the man is ancient. He's a statue. It's not like he's running. Like, if he goes down, do you see Sam Ellinger? That's... seems like a not great situation there. It's, you know, I don't think that that's a recipe for success, you know? But keeping it moving, let's keep it in the NFC North here. Let's talk Lions and Packers, and we have to wait and see what happens with the quarterback situation in Green Bay. Like, Jordan Love gets hurt last week and doesn't finish the game. Malik Willis finishes the game and has been in and out of practice all week long, and now we'll see what happens. But you also have the Lions, who laying 3.5 on the road. You're going to Green Bay, and obviously the Lions have their issues as far as suspensions and the Aiden Hutchinson injury. But I kind of still like the Lions in this spot, especially if it's going to be Malik Willis. I think that even if it's Jordan Love, they know he's hurt. Even without Hutchinson, they're going to try and pressure him. They're going to try and make him uncomfortable. They're going to try and make him move and maybe try and aggravate that injury. So I kind of like the Lions here. I know it's Goff outside. So if anything, maybe it's the under 47.5. Maybe that's the look here. If you have a hobbled Jordan Love or possibly Malik Willis, and then you have Jared Goff outside, which historically isn't a great situation for him. So I definitely am leaning the Lions here. Maybe, I mean, we're at 3.5 right now. If it gets to 3, then I think I like the Lions. And if they win by only 3, you get the push, which you're never betting to hope for a push. You want to win. Obviously, winning is better than losing. Money is better than not winning money. But all that being said, the 3.5 scares me a little bit. So if we could get to 3 or even inside 3, which is very unlikely, then I'll like the Lions even more. But I think at 3.5, lean Lions, wait till the last second, see if we can get 2-3, lean the under as well with a hobbled Jordan Love or Malik Willis and Jared Goff outside. I stayed away from it for as long as I could. Delayed talking about the Bears for as long as I could. They are 1.5-point dogs at Arizona. And Matt Eberflus, famously, has not won a true Sunday road game. But also, on the other hand, Bears bounce back spot as dogs against an Arizona team that is fine. Like, I don't think they're wowing anybody. They're just fine, I guess. And I know that they just beat the Dolphins with Tua back in Miami, but first game back for Tua, very rusty, has to shake the rust off. Yeah, they beat the Chargers at home, but they got dump trucked by the Packers. You know, they've got dump trucked by the Commanders at home. And I just think that it's a very up and down Cardinals team. I don't think we know what this is yet. So I think the Cardinals are very beatable. I think the Bears catching points is, I mean, I get it. After they lose, it flipped. The Bears at first were favorites in this game. People bet the Cardinals, obviously. But I still think that the Bears can hang around in this game, especially, I know it's bad vibes around Halas Hall, and I know it's bad vibes around this team with the coaching and, you know, what's going to happen there. Is Matt Eberflus going to make it through the season? Hint, he probably will, because the McCaskey family and the Bears don't fire coaches midseason, even though he's maybe losing the locker room because, you know, his players are getting out there and saying, yeah, we're not happy. But, you know, who am I to say? I'm just the guy with the microphone here on 670 The Score on Early Odds. That would be me, Jake Hassan, you know, as we've been here the last couple of weeks. But I think I would take the Bears on the money line here. I think Caleb Williams is a better quarterback than Kyler Murray. Jonathan Gannon's a better head coach than Matt Eberflus. No one's disputing that. But I think this Bears team in a bounce back spot, I think you could see a focused, locked in Bears team that wants to prove something. And I think you could see a defense that is going to focus Marvin Harrison Jr. and focus Trey McBride and see if Kyler Murray can beat them in other ways. And yeah, with a couple of the injuries, and now Tyrique Stevenson probably isn't going to start in this game as, you know, a reprimand, I guess. But I still think the defense could hold it down. And I think Caleb Williams isn't satisfied with how he played last week in a big spot against Jaden Daniels. I think he's going to want to prove something against Kyler Murray too. So I kind of like the over as well, 44.5. Kind of think that the Bears could get to 30 in this game, but I think that the Bears are the right side of this. I think it's kind of an overreaction to what was really a fluky Hail Mary play. Like, the Bears realistically should have won that game. I think in a bounce back spot, that maybe is more of the look here. And listen, was wrong about DeAndre Hopkins last week with the touchdown. I like the spot. It was 2-1. Now you get him Monday night football. Come on. We have to run it back, right? Like, we have to run the DeAndre Hopkins touchdown back for the Chiefs in primetime against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who, by the way, their defense has been getting shredded. So we have to, right? Let's see. It's plus 155, not as good as last week, but still getting pretty good plus money there on DeAndre Hopkins, I think, in prime time against a bad Bucs defense. Now is the time for DeAndre Hopkins. That's where we go with that. Some of my NFL thoughts there, and we will take a quick break on the other side. Sam Panionovich of BetQL Daily and Fox Sports joins the show. Going to get his thoughts on the NFL slate and the college slate and his thoughts on some of the awards and futures as well. So stick around for that. We are going to hit a quick break. This is 670 The Score. I am Jake Hassan. This is Early Odds. On the other side, Sam Panionovich joins the show, so stick around.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's 3-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth of the Sing of Truth podcast. The playoffs are here, and that means the race to the big game is on. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I as we follow along this NFL postseason, breaking down the matchups each week and see who will shine when the lights are brightest. You know I speak nothing but the stinking truth. Follow and listen to Stinking Truth on free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in, 670 The Score, Early Odds with Jake Hassan here, and as promised, Sam Panionovich joins the show to break down the college football and NFL slate. Follow him on Twitter at SPShoot, the host of BetQL Daily with the dearly departed, not from life, but from this show, Joe Ostrowski. You can also find his work at Fox Sports. Sammy, what's up, man?
I still feel sick from eating 18 cookies on our show Thursday. I have not been able to shake it. I did it for the network. I did it for the people. Disgusting amount of cookies to eat in about a 2-hour window, and I probably won't be the cookie monster next Halloween.
Yeah, I mean, you're very brave. My thoughts are with you during this difficult time in your life, but you have my respect because you committed to the bit, and you see the bit through, and that's all that matters, and I'm proud of you.
Thank you, Jake. Maybe I'll be dearly departed pretty soon if I go through another one of those cookie spiels.
Oh, I hope you're with us for a long time, because we're going to need you for the remainder. We're going to need you a couple more times as football season goes along. Because, Sammy, I haven't talked to you on this show, at least, in a while. I mean, the last time we talked, it was NFL hadn't even started. We were talking Roma Dunze props. We were talking, you know, different Heisman looks. We were talking, unfortunately, speaking of dearly departed, Kansas to make the playoff. But it's been a while. So, I mean, just your overall takeaways, were almost halfway through just about the NFL season, more so than the college season. What's changed for you? What has been something that you've been taking away where you were either had to change your looks, had to change your handicap, or who surprised you?
I think the entire NFC North has been a pleasant surprise. You knew some of the teams would be good. I didn't know all four of them would be good to some extent. And I know that people want to throw salt on the Bears for that loss to the The Commanders, I almost said a word from my childhood that I can no longer say. But that loss, while it's bad, the Bears are still relatively good, and they can win 9 games, which is a good football team. Now, are they great? No. Will they be better when they move on from Eberflus? Yes. But to look up and see the Lions at 6-1, Packers 6-2, Vikings 5-2, and the Bears at 4-3, I did not see that coming. I did not see this as the best division top to bottom in football. I knew it would be better than people thought, but I was surprised by that. I think Caleb Williams has grown in droves as well. Now, you look at his stats in the last game, maybe not the greatest, but his composure late in game, second half, fourth quarter, has been solid. He put them in every position to win that game, and that's what you want from a young quarterback. So I've been really impressed with the division. I think the Josh Allen explosion this year with a lack of talent has been impressive. And then on the other side, you knew Carolina would be bad. Carolina is atrocious at football. And not only are they not winning, Jake, they're 1-7 straight up. They're also 1-7 against the spread. It has been so simple to just bet against Carolina every week, and you are 7-1.
Well, Sammy, let's keep it with the NFL here while we start, and we'll get to college in a little bit. But you mentioned Eberflus and the Bears, and obviously we're on 670 The Score. We're in Chicago. So I want to ask you one follow-up really quick there. Do you think Eberflus gets fired? And I know there's 10-1s out there floating around on him to be first coach fired. Do you think that that is maybe a bet, maybe a look? Or do you think, I mean, obviously Doug Peterson's the favorite, plus 350. Dable not far behind him, about 4-1, 5-1. Do you think that maybe Eberflus has a chance to be first coach fired? Or is it just the Bears are going to stay the Bears and they're going to let it ride through the season?
They should. They should. I would make a case you could have left him in D.C., to be honest with you, especially after the postgame press conference when he took no accountability and basically said he didn't think they did anything wrong and those things are correctable. Well, okay, but you could have been 5-2 and now you're 4-3. That game might determine whether or not they make the playoffs. So I think if you're a Bears fan, not to wish ill will on anybody to lose a job, but the Bears will be unshackled if they can get an offensive coach and a strong defensive coordinator. Conventional wisdom, Jake, tells us no. The Bears, as a family, the McCaskey family, they don't fire coaches midseason, which is respectable. You want to give the guy the end of the year to get everything in order and then let him go. I don't think it's the worst bet given the price at 10-1, but I don't think they do it. And it's funny that we have this conversation because coming into the year, Matt Eberflus was favored to win coach of the year, favored to win coach of the year. And now we're talking about him having the same price to get fired next. That's alarming if you're a Bears fan.
Want to keep it one more Bears question. Want to look at offensive rookie of the year because we talk about that Commanders-Bears game and God. But now you have Jaden Daniels minus 400 for offensive rookie of the year. Sometimes some longer numbers out there too. Do you think that, I mean, obviously it's not over, but is Caleb Williams still the most likely to chase down Jaden Daniels? Is there any, you know, kind of vulnerability with Daniels? Or are you just kind of leaving this alone because there's no shots to take?
I would love to give you a big number on a player that has a chance, but because of the concussion to Malik Nabers, the injury to Marvin Harrison Jr. in the last couple of weeks, now these guys are going to come back eventually. We've seen Nabers play and we've seen Harrison play. They're going to come back and put up good numbers over the next couple of weeks, ideally. But they are so far behind Jaden Daniels. And it's funny, I was on this station, geez, 2 or 3 weeks ago, heading into the Rams game, and I had told Dan Bernstein, hey, now's the time to buy Caleb at 10-1. And he said, well, I don't know. I said, well, Dan, if he's a stock, this would be the time to buy. And going into the Washington game, Daniels is minus 140, Williams is plus 110. The problem is Jaden Daniels threw a Hail Mary to beat Caleb Williams. So it's not decided, but there's so much work for everybody else to do that isn't named Jaden Daniels. I think it's an unbettable market right now. I'm not laying $4 or more on Daniels, but I don't think I would bet anybody else either.
Let's talk MVP then, because I know you have some hashtag takes here. You've been talking about it on BetQL Daily for weeks. You have Josh Allen. You mentioned him already. He's the favorite, but Lamar Jackson right there as well. A little bit of a dip. Then you have Mahomes, Goff, Jalen Hurts kind of hanging around that 15-1 range. What are you thinking for MVP? What are you doing with MVP going forward?
I was told by the BetQL social team that I went viral on TikTok, and my heart immediately went into my stomach, and I thought, what have I done? And they assured me that it was a good thing because I said that Patrick Mahomes should not be favored to win the MVP. And at the time, he was 250, 270 at every sports book. And then Lamar happened with the 5-touchdown night against Tampa, and then Allen played really well for a couple weeks. And now Mahomes is not the favorite. He's about 6-1, 650. Ironically enough, this is a fluid situation. Would I have bet Mahomes at 250? Absolutely not. Would I think about Mahomes at 6-1? Yeah, I would. So you're not reacting to the moment. You never want to bet a guy that becomes the favorite. You want to bet a guy that takes a dip numerically. And, you know, Josh Allen now 3-1, Lamar 3-1. You could have bet Allen at 8 or 9 like I did. You could have bet Lamar at 20 a couple of weeks ago. You never want to be late to the party because the party always ends. I think Mahomes at 6-1 or Goff at 8-1 are the only two bets that are enticing right now. Hurts, I don't see it with Hurts. Daniels, I don't believe a rookie's going to win the MVP. And then everybody else, they're already floating out purposely. They want you to bet the Kylers and the Strouds and the Darnolds and the Joe Burrows. To me, it's one of those four guys. Given the price, maybe I'd bet Jared Goff at 8-1. But I can't tell you, Jake, I can't tell you right now to bet the favorite at 3-1 Josh Allen or 3-1 Lamar Jackson, because this is the worst possible time to buy their stocks.
Well, and like you said, we've seen the market move all season long. I mean, it's week to week, guys are flipping as the favorite. So good stuff there from Sammy. Sam Panionovich at SP Shoot. Can follow him on Twitter. Obviously, listen to him and watch him if you want. Watch him eat a bunch of cookies on air and BetQL Network and wherever you find that. But, Sammy, let's get into the actual games. Listen, last week, the big dogs actually did pretty decently. The Browns, the Patriots, just to name a couple. And we have a few dogs laying more than a touchdown again this week. The Broncos, obviously, once again, they're going against the Ravens. But you have a couple others out there as well. The Raiders are getting 7, I should say. You have a couple other teams out there. The Panthers, of course, obviously, because, as you mentioned, they're atrocious. But any of the big dogs that you're looking at again this week after what we saw last week, or are you laying some favorites?
So we saw some money come in for sure on Monday Night Football, and this is not going to be popular because people just, they get so scared betting against Kansas City, although Kansas City has been vulnerable in several areas this year. This number opened at 10, and it got bet off the 10 pretty nice. I mean, it's sub 10. There are some 8.5s right now heading into Monday night, and I know people will look at Tampa and think, well, Evans is probably out. Godwin's out for the year. I can't bet Tampa. Plus, Kansas City's really good. Well, that's sort of what they want you to think. And it's not that the Kansas City can't cover. I just think it's a big old number. And you know the books are going to need the dog. People oftentimes don't want to bet with the books because they don't like the books. But the books do win a lot more than the public wins in terms of a statistical percentage-driven metric. So I look at a team like Tampa that's been pretty profitable so far this year, and a Kansas City team that is, yes, undefeated, but when they're undefeated, you pay that tax. When you're 7-0, you're laying 10 when the number should probably be 7. So I think anything north of 7 is interesting on Tampa, and that's a dog I will look at for sure. You could probably wait till Monday and get an even better number because the public will bet it up. The big dog that I like, I want to go against Denver. I'll be on Baltimore. It's so funny because on our show, which you're a part of, we talked about Cleveland for 3 days, and nobody talked about Cleveland. So then Cleveland beats Baltimore, and now everybody wants to bet Denver against Baltimore because Baltimore lost to Cleveland. If you're playing that game in the NFL, you are going to constantly be a day late and a dollar short. Yeah, Denver walloped Carolina, but now you got to go to Baltimore and face that offense with all those weapons. They just got Deontay Johnson, which is going to make the passing game better. And Baltimore off a loss is a team I would look at to win by maybe 2 touchdowns this weekend.
Let's talk about the news from earlier in the week. Anthony Richardson gets benched. Joe Flacco is going to start for the Colts. Vikings have been a popular team this year. Are you doing anything with this game? Are you staying away? What are you doing with the Colts going forward, too? Like, do you think Richardson is on the bench for the rest of the year, or is this just gamesmanship from Steichen and we're going to see him again?
You bring up a good point. What happens if Flacco goes down? Do they go to Richardson or do they go to, I believe, Sam Ehlinger is quarterback 3? If that's the case, they are in trouble. I like their head coach a lot, but I think he's made a lot of really dumb decisions in key moments this year. And I learned a long time ago in Vegas, good teams win, great teams cover. Well, if you look at the Colts right now, in terms of win-loss, 4-4. Very, very average. The definition of average. Colts are 7-1 against the spread, though, Jake. Good teams win, great teams cover. All that said, I think Minnesota's in a great situational spot. The last 2 games, 2 losses, maybe they're not this good. Maybe Sam Darnold really is a bum. Maybe the defense isn't. All this stuff that pops up when a team goes from 5-0 to 5-2, all it does is make that team cheaper, and it makes them less sexy. 2 weeks ago, this number is Minnesota -7.5 or -8. Now it's only 5, 5.5. I would lay it with Minnesota. Anything 6 or less, I would lay the points with the Vikings.
Last one here, Sam, before we go on to the college slate. But Cowboys, Falcons, and it seems like people are kind of wanting to take the 3 with the Cowboys and go against the Falcons at home. Anything for you here as the Cowboys kind of try to right this ship?
I would tease them up. I just need more than 2.5. So, you know, some of you still have the ability to play 2-team 6-point teasers about -120. Don't do -140 or -150. Some of these books are just incredulous with the teaser prices. But a lot of you have the ability to do -120. I would go Dallas from 2.5 to 8.5 and then take a team like Seattle from 1.5 to 7.5. I like to tease dogs up. I'm not a down-up guy. I'm an up-down guy. So I think taking a dog from the 1 to 2.5 range and putting them up is the way to go. I like Dallas in a teaser with Seattle. I just, if Atlanta wins by 3, I'd hate myself. I just want more points. I want the protection through the 4, 6, 7, and the 8 on Dallas in a teaser.
Talking to Sam Panionovich, follow him at SP Shoot. Catch him on BetQL Daily and at Fox Sports. Sammy, let's move to college. And I want to start with, I think, what everybody's been talking about the most. Let's talk Heisman, because this has gotten real weird. Obviously, we had Ashton Gentry in the mix. Travis Hunter is in the mix. Now the quarterbacks are starting to make moves. Dylan Gabriel, Cam Ward, those guys. What is your look? I know you're big on Travis Hunter. I know you've been loading up on him. Is that just the way to go? Is there a bet to be made down the board as these quarterbacks start to kind of find their groove? What are you thinking for Heisman right now and going forward?
If I had a vote, I would give it to Travis Hunter. If you needed a bet, I don't know that I would bet any of the guys in the top 4. I mean, can you imagine being a sports book, booking 4 guys at like 450 or less? It's a great place to be. We're going to give you 4 players. We're going to give you 250, 250, 3-1, and 450. Have at it, Haas. The hold percentage for the house is through the roof. I think maybe one guy that's interesting is Clemson's Cade Klubnik. I mean, I'm not going to come on your show and give you a 2-3-1 guy. I mean, I've got Hunter at 22-12-6. I hope he wins, and I think he will win if Colorado can win you know, 9 games, maybe 10 games, which they're in line to do. They could definitely win 9. I look at, you know, the stats for Klubnik. He's been pretty good this year, man, in terms of taking that offense to the next level. 20 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. That offense has been so much better since the Georgia game. But, I mean, I do think at the end of the day, you want to fish for big prices on guys that could maneuver. You're looking for a horse in the middle of the pack right now that could potentially get on the outside and come around. You can't be betting favorites now. I can't. Oh, Travis. Oh, the guy from BetQL Daily likes Travis Hunter. Duh, he's the favorite. I wouldn't bet Hunter or Gabriel or Ward. Maybe of those four, you could bet Genty at 5-1 and he breaks Barry Sanders' record. But I wouldn't bet either of the favorites right now, Hunter or Gabriel, because you are just so, so late at getting a price that matters. And, you know, somebody has 22, 12, and 6. I can't, with any honesty, tell you you should bet plus 250.
Are you looking to bet Colorado on a game-to-game basis, or are you cool just sitting with your Travis Hunter because that's essentially a Colorado bet?
Yeah, I'm rooting for them. I don't know that I need to bet them. I mean, they're going to be laying a pretty decent number. They're off until the 9th of November, so we won't see them for a couple weeks now. Well, I guess a week because we're talking next Saturday. But I don't know. I think, look, their combination of Sanders and Hunter, you could argue they have the two best players on the field every single week, and I'm by no means a Colorado supporter or a homer. They have the two best players. Sanders is also really, really solid this year. I mean, Sanders has better stats than, you know, Jackson Dart and Dylan Gabriel and a lot of other high-profile quarterbacks, but anything Colorado related will be Travis Hunter. I did think about Colorado to make the playoff, but I don't know that the price is that great. There's a lot of stuff they have to do to still get in, but you can get a really nice price on Colorado, like 6-1, 7-1 to make the playoff. That might not be the worst idea. They're going to have to make a move here in the Big 12, but that's sort of the only thing left for me is deciding whether or not I want to bet Colorado to make the playoff. And I said make, not win. I'm not a lunatic.
Is there anybody that you're watching outside of Colorado to make the playoff, or anybody you're waiting to see if they make a move, or is kind of all the hay in the barn in that situation?
It's so funny you bring that up, because I think after Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois, everybody said that they were dead in the water. And all they've done since that point is, for the most part, dominate. I mean, 66-7, 28-3, 49-7, 31-13, 51-14. They did have a tight one against Louisville. Louisville's a ranked team, but their schedule the rest of the way is pretty easy. FSU sucks. Virginia, nothing special. You play Army, but that's a home game. And then you go to USC. I think Notre Dame runs the table, goes 11-1, makes the playoff. That's about minus 170, minus 180. People don't want to lay that. I understand it. But if they go into that game, Jake, let's say Notre Dame wins the next three and then goes to USC, what you could do is you could just bet the no. So you have the yes at minus 170, and then the no could be 2-1. Because if they win the next three, they're going to be minus 400 or minus 350 to be in the playoff. So you're making a bet to put you in a good spot that could allow you to basically free roll Notre Dame in the playoff. That's what I would do. I think they're going to win the next three, at which point their season depends on beating USC on the road, at which point if you have minus 170 on the yes, you could bet the no at maybe plus 250 or plus 3-1 and really put yourself in a really nice spot.
That was a good pander to all the Notre Dame fans in Chicago, Sammy. That was good work on 670 The Score, because there's definitely, as we know, a lot of Notre Dame fans around here. All right, let's talk about the games, actually. And this week, obviously, the big one that everybody's talking about, and we'll start there, Ohio State, Penn State. It's 3.5. Ohio State's laying it on the road. Everybody, of course, talking about the James Franklin in a big spot, the letdown spot that he always comes up in. What are you doing with this game? What are you thinking for this game later on today?
I think Penn State wins, but I will take the points just to be safe. You can take a 3.5 right now. I have, you know, power ratings on every team, and I compare my ratings to other guys in Vegas that make numbers for a living. And the aggregate number on a neutral field is Ohio State 3 points better than Penn State. So with the game at Penn State, home field in college is worth at least 4 points, 4.5 points at Penn State, the true number, Jake, is probably Penn State favored. Let's also understand this. As talented as Ohio State is, they have serious issues on the offensive line. They are just battered and bruised right now, which is going to make life a lot tougher on Will Howard, the quarterback, who I've never really been that big of a fan of. And it's not like I love James Franklin or Penn State, but this game is in Pennsylvania. It's not in Ohio. And you have to give this team some credit for being at home and taking care of business all season long. I like Ohio State, big picture. They could still make a run in the college football playoff, but they've had a tough schedule, man, having to go to Eugene, having to go to Happy Valley. They can still get in the playoff with two losses. Don't get it twisted. But I think Penn State is going to give you everything they've got. And if you can take a 3.5, I would strongly consider it for this week.
You mentioned Eugene. Let's talk about Oregon. They just pummeled our Illini last week, and that was really hard to watch. But laying 2 touchdowns or more against Michigan at the Big House, anything here for you? Do you think Oregon and Dan Lanning just continue to roll?
This one's a pass. I will say that I've been very impressed with Oregon's ability to turn it up after a very sleepy first part of their season when they beat Idaho by 10 as a 40-point favorite and outlasted Boise by 3 as a 3-touchdown favorite. But since they beat Michigan State 31-10, they beat Ohio State as a dog at home. They go to Purdue, win 35-0 in the most obvious letdown spot of all time. Purdue didn't score a single point. And then after that game, they go back home and find a way to get up for Illinois. Lanning has them super focused right now. The sharpest guy that I know in the world laid 14 on the open. That number is now gone, unfortunately. It's 14.5, 15. Might go even higher by kickoff. It's hard for me. I would have loved it at 14. If it's 28-14 now and you're laying 14.5, you're going to lose. So at that number, it's a pass. Obviously, I respect Oregon a whole lot more than Michigan. And Michigan is now very excited to go back to their fourth quarterback. I mean, it's just all year. We're so excited for this quarterback. And they've said that 4 times this season. That coach, to me, is a zero, man. I'd be very upset if I was a Michigan fan.
Yeah, play the circus music and just the musical chairs music for the quarterback with Michigan. All right, Sam, one that I know that you've been monitoring and one that you've been looking at all week. What are you doing with Indiana? I know we're waiting on a couple things in this game, but Indiana laying a touchdown, a little more than a touchdown at Michigan State. Is there anything here for you, or are you waiting until the last second?
Yeah, and you can vouch if you want to. I've been talking about Indiana all season long as a team that is way better than the market understands. But at this point in time, in November, we are a little too far. We have overrated them a little too much. The power rating is probably a little too high. In the summer, Jake, this number, Indiana at Michigan State, was Indiana -2. Now we are at Indiana -8. I'm not there. And it does sound like Curtis Rourke is going to go. That's the report. He's on track to start on Saturday at Michigan State, but I like that coach a lot. Michigan State has already beaten Iowa this year at home as about a 6-point favorite or 6-point dog, excuse me. And you look at who they've played so far, and I know some people don't like to hear this game, but have you been tested or not? And Michigan State this year has played Ohio State, at Oregon, Iowa, at Michigan. They've been really tested, and they've hung around in a lot of those games. I like Indiana. I like their ceiling. I think they can make some noise in the Big Ten over the next month or so. But I am not laying 8 with Indiana. It will not happen. Not today.
Last one. We'll close it out, Sammy. Anything else that you have on the card that people might not immediately go to or that they might be overlooking? Something that you're betting or something that you're watching this today that might escape other people's notice?
Yeah, I like the under in 333 Mississippi and Arkansas. Open 55. Now it's about 53.5. The one thing Arkansas does is take away what you do well on offense, and they slow the game down because they have a good defensive front and they run the football a lot. And Ole Miss on the surface, high octane offense, Lane Kiffin, throw, speed. But their offense has been a little clunky as of late. So I look at the total. I respect the move to the under. I know a couple guys who bet under 55 and others who bet under 54. I still think it's good at 53.5. Like, I would play it probably down to 52. I think we're in for a 24-20, 24-17 type game where Arkansas mucks it up in the mud. No pun intended. They are the Razorbacks, and their mascot is a pig. But I do like the under in the SEC, Mississippi and Arkansas.
Sam Panionovic, follow him at SP Shoot. Check him out on BetQL Daily with our dear friend Joe Ostrowski and at Fox Sports. Sammy, thank you, man. Go Ramley.
Thank you, Jay. Good luck, everybody.
That was Sam Panionovic. Huge thanks to him. On the other side, we're going to take a break. We will come back and close out the show with some NBA, NHL, and a postmortem for the MLB. For Major League Baseball, as obviously the Dodgers won the World Series. Maybe a couple futures look that I already like, because it's me. I got to talk baseball. This is Early Odds. This is 670 The Score. Jake Hassan with you. Quick break. We will be right back on the other side. All right, welcome back. Closing things out here. 670 The Score, Early Odds. Jake Hassan with you once again. Last couple of minutes here. Want to do a little bit of a postmortem for Major League Baseball, give you a long shot future that I really like, and then we're done with baseball talk for the foreseeable future until college baseball starts in about 3 months or so. But we'll get into that when we get into that. Thank you once again to Sam Panionovic at SP Shoot on Twitter. He's the best. BetQL Daily and Fox Sports. Appreciate him coming by and giving us a lot of time. Honestly, that was awesome. Was very generous with his time, even though, as he said, he was still reeling from some Halloween festivities earlier in the week, most notably on Thursday, you know, when Halloween was. But I digress. But thanks to Sam, he's the best. Gave us a lot of really good insight about the NFL and college football for this week and going forward. Gave some awesome futures as well. So thanks to Sam, he's the best. But closing things out here, like I said, a postmortem for Major League Baseball here as the Dodgers win the World Series in five games. If you listen last week, I said I liked the Dodgers, even though obviously they were up 1-0 already, but I liked the Dodgers in the series. None of our MVPs came home. Freddie Freeman, who knew? who knew that was going to happen? You know, like, just goes on an insane tear that we've never seen before. Maybe we'll never see again, but very deserving. Freddie Freeman, any of you who bet his 30-40-1 World Series MVP, more power to you. I was scared of the injury, and for that, I'm a coward, and I'll admit to that. But, you know, none of our World Series MVPs come home, and we'll try again next year, though. You know, hopefully we can get a long price home. But we do have World Series 2025 odds up already. Obviously, the Dodgers favored, and, you know, we got a report on Thursday and Wednesday night after the World Series ended that Juan Soto is open to all teams, that the Dodgers are going to make a push, and obviously the Mets and Yankees will be involved. But Dodgers are your favorites to open the year for, or open the odds for 2025 World Series. Yankees right there as well. A little bit of a drop off. Dodgers are about 4 or 5 to 1. Yankees drop from, you know, 750, 8 to 1. So kind of significant there, but we'll talk about that more next year. But we'll have to see what happens with Juan Soto, if he re-signs with the Yankees or goes elsewhere. Something that I don't really get, the Braves are third favorites, and I think they have a lot of work to do. Max Fried might leave. Spencer Strider, who knows what that's going to be when he comes back. Same thing with Ronald Acuna Jr. as he recovers from a torn ACL again. So I don't really agree with the Braves being, you know, third favorites there. Obviously, the Orioles, Padres, Mets are all going to be popular teams. The Cubs sitting at 30 to 1. Listen, no thanks. I'm good. Cubs fans already convincing themselves they're going to get Juan Soto. Okay, just like you were supposed to get Bryce Harper and Trey Turner and Shohei Ohtani and XYZ, all these guys. Okay, sure. I'll believe it when I see it. I'll stop ragging at Cubs fans now, but I'm not even a White Sox fan, so it is what it is. It doesn't matter. I don't have an allegiance. I just like to win money, which is what the point of this is and why I'm going to give you a long shot bomb for 2025 World Series, should you be so inclined. A team that I am watching because I think they have a ton of upside. I think they are right on the cusp of being a very competitive team. I think they just need to add a couple of pieces, but I think the foundation is definitely there. The Washington Nationals, 150-1 for the World Series, 80-1 to win the NL East next year. And let me tell you why I like this team. I mentioned it already. The base is already there for the Nationals. They have James Wood, who looks like a future superstar. They have Dylan Cruz, who was the number two overall pick in the 2024 MLB draft, right? No. 2023 MLB draft, excuse me. They have CJ Abrams, who was an all-star already when he's not at the casino in Chicago. They have supplementary pieces like Juan Yepez and Trey Lipscomb and guys in the outfield. If they bring Joey Gallo back, I like that as well. And I really like their rotation as well. I think they really have something cooking in the rotation with Mitchell Parker and Jake Irvin and DJ Hers. I really like those guys going forward. They showed a lot in a small sample size, admittedly, but they showed a lot to me in their rookie seasons, their first couple of seasons, first or second. I think they were all rookies in their first season in Washington. And then Mackenzie Gore, who has a ton of upside. This guy has Cy Young upside. He's just got to put it together and get rid of these blow up spots and he'll be awesome. But especially with what a free agent market that is about to be with guys, obviously the Nationals are a smaller market. They're not going to be in play for Juan Soto. And obviously I don't think he would agree to go back there because they expedited him from there very, you know, quickly. So I think obviously they'll be out on Soto, but Alonso, if they pluck him from the Mets, Gleyber Torres, who we just saw perform well in the postseason, they pluck him from the Yankees. There's other guys. Alex Bregman is out there as well. And I think that would be a really nice fit for the Washington Nationals, by the way. But other guys like Corbin Burns, Max Fried, maybe a Shane Bieber, Walker Buehler to pair with those young arms and be the ace of a staff that I think can already be really, really good. And then you add supplementary pieces, kind of like what the Royals did this year. The Royals already had Bobby Witt Jr. and Vinny Pascatino and these stars, and they just added some pieces. They added Michael Wacha, Seth Lugo. They already had Cole Reagans. They add guys, you know, throughout Adam Frazier. They add a Hunter Renfroe. And it's not that you need, they're right there. They just need the supplementary pieces, I think, as long as they're stars, their young guys take the step forward. And I think that could happen for the Nationals. So as long as they make the right signings, and I think they will be involved, and it could be like even a Christian Walker. I think that would be really helpful for the Washington Nationals. So 150-1 to win the World Series, 80-1 to win the division. They're my look going forward for the foreseeable future. As far as the NBA goes, I think that it's still a very weird time. But, I mean, how about the Cleveland Cavaliers? Like, they've been awesome. They have something cooking. I think they have a really nice mix with Evan Mobley, Darius Garland, and I think they have a nice young core there, and maybe they'll be active where they can bring in a couple pieces as well. Not to say that the Bucks or the Knicks won't figure it out, because I think that they will. I think they're way too talented, but eventually they'll figure it out. But another team that is in the East and is really making some noise, the Orlando Magic, man. I mean, Paolo Banchero, which might be one of those dudes where he just elevates the whole team. And they have a good team with Franz Wagner and a couple other guys on that team. But I think Paolo could be on the rise. Like, his star could very much be rising. I struggle to say that, yeah, I'll bet him for most improved player, because he was the first overall pick. Like, you're supposed to be good. So maybe you could find some other prices like All-Star or All-NBA. Maybe those make a little bit more sense than most improved, just because for a guy who was a top pick, people are going to argue that, well, yeah, this is the natural progression. You shouldn't be in this area. Like, this should be your natural progression. You know what I mean? Like, does that make sense? So I don't know if I want to rush to bet Paolo for most improved player, but I'm going to bet his points total overs, and I'm going to bet his threes overs, and I'm going to bet the Magic on a nightly basis, because they've been awesome so far. But that is going to do it. I have been Jake Hassan. This is Early Odds. Stick around for more great programming on this fine station. But until next week, I'm out.